Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marches never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see
600,000 deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government, plus I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. Mm. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven, the radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking, And Master Ronnie saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he...
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarion. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarion took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarion, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, today, matter of fact, all this week, remember our goal, we're on part 19 today. Our goal within 6 to 9 months is to earn $1 million. Not borrow, not go to the government, but earn it. We haven't done 1 cent yet. Okay, but we're preparing for it, but we're on part 19 of this. Now, and I figure the most, now we're getting ready, the most important part, the arithmetic of this. Because if you have a basic understanding of arithmetic, anybody can earn $1 million. All right? So today, as well as all this week, every day this week, we're going to go do the arithmetic of earning the million by reviewing, for most of us, first, second, and third grade mathematics. First, second, and third grade mathematics. Now, we're going to do a little wealth interlude right now for about 3-4 minutes. When we come back, we're going to do a review of first grade. We're going to take a look at first grade arithmetic. We're going to use first grade arithmetic and come up with a blueprint using first grade arithmetic on how to get to $1 million. So go get your water, and we're going to take about 3-4 minutes. Go get that. We're going to play this. We'll be back.
In 1986, when the Chernobyl disaster sent radioactive clouds all over Europe, we knew we had to do something against nuclear energy. Many
many parents were really concerned about their children, and so some of us formed a group named Parents for a Nuclear-Free Future. We began to educate ourselves in how to save energy. We started in our own home, and then we tried to motivate others to do the same. We wanted the energy company to support us, but they told us no, because we want to sell energy and not to save energy. And so one day we had the idea to take over the grid.
Citizens could generate their own power from solar, hydro, and wind.
Small producers are paid when they feed their electricity into the grid. Consumers are rewarded when they save energy.
So then there was only one question. How do we get the power grid? When the election came up to decide who controls the grid, we knew it was now or never. EWS, the Shunau Electrical Power Company, held two citizen referendums and won them both.
The power company said, well, you have the votes, but we have the grid. And we want 9 million Dutch mark, and either you pay it or we don't give you the grid. So we had a campaign asking people to help us raising this money.
It took EWS 7 long years to purchase the electrical grid.
This power company was afraid that this was the beginning of a movement, and it was.
Under Ursula's plan, homeowners have small power plants called cogenerators. EWS is now collectively owned by more than 1,000 citizens.
A year after we had taken the grid, the German electricity market was deregulated. Every person could buy electricity from the company he had chosen. And that is the idea of renewable power, because it's decentralized.
This is grassroots at its best. More than 100,000 people now have the electric current from this very small city, and they are very proud of it.
We want to have 100% renewable energy in 2050. All studies say it is possible to do that, and so we will do it.
For outstanding environmental achievement in Europe, the 2011 Goldman Environmental Prize is awarded to Ursula Sladek, Schunau, Germany.
Okay, we're about to have our first grade math class here. Give us about 5 minutes. We're going to lay the groundwork with this audio and come back within 5 minutes. First grade arithmetic. How first grade arithmetic can make you $1 million.
According to 2017 tax returns in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million year income. In America, 500,000 people made over $1 million year income. Now, here's the kicker. Mount Everest, people say, oh my gosh, you know, he reached the top of Mount Everest. Do you know how many people have done it out of 7 billion people? 4,000 only. Out of 326 million people in America, 500,000 people have made $1 million year income. That means it's so much easier to make $1 million year income than climb Mount Everest. And some people think $1 million year income is such a big deal. Not anymore today in America. Now, keep this in mind. Before I get into it, I'm going to have a PDF for you, and I'm going to give you two different sides in this episode. One is going to be the logical side. I'll give you the math. The other one's going to be the emotional side, which is a part that most people struggle with. But this is a guy giving you this video, this message here. I've never lived in a house. I've always lived in an apartment. My parents got a divorce. I barely graduated from high school. I went to the U.S. Army because every counselor I had told told me military is the best way for you because you can go to the Army, you can come out, be a cop or a firefighter, and you'll be set with a pension, with benefits, with all this other stuff, and you don't need to worry about everything else because schooling and success for everybody else is not going to work for somebody like you, Patrick. So I went the military route. No one in my family's ever made over six figures. We've never owned or lived in a house with a swimming pool, a backyard, nothing. We've never owned a condo that I've lived in ever, okay? So that was my life. Fast forward, the moment I figured out this formula and I trusted it, which I'm going to share with you. And by the way, this is not one of these clickbait, go on this webinar because I'm going to show you this program that for only $19.99 and you buy this program, I'm going to show you how to be a millionaire. This is free content to you, but it's going to make you millions. You'll see by the time I'm done. This formula got me a Ferrari, a Lambo, you know, Porsche, a Dawn, a Rolls Royce, a house, a 15,000 square foot. I've traveled all over the place. More importantly, family. My dad's been all over the world. I've surprised my dad and my mom in the craziest way that they couldn't even believe. And more than anything else, outside of all this other stuff, when family needed money, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to experience unique moments with people that matter to me the most, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to be able to do things when crisis happened for people in my family, I had money in the bank account. You watching this, listen to me. You will do better for the world being a millionaire than doing better for the world somebody making $30,000, $40,000 per year. You need to figure out a way how to make $1 million income because it is that important to make that kind of money today because it's free to figure out a way to do it today. And I'm going to give it to you. Now, let me get into it. Before I do, questions, thoughts, comments, comment below. And if you haven't subscribed to the number one channel on YouTube, click on the subscribe button for entrepreneurship. Once we cross 1 million subs, we're doing our first live event with all the valuetainers around the world. Make sure you click the subscribe button and join the notification squad. Okay, so let's get right into it. So there are two areas that you need to figure out in order for you to make $1 million your income. One is the logical side that has to do with math. The other one is the emotional side that has to do with belief. We'll get into this, which is going to be some unique stuff you have not heard before, but let me explain the logic side. So here's the math side. When it comes down to coins, we have a half a dollar coin, 50 cents. We have a quarter, 25 cents, a dime, that's 10 cents, a nickel, that's 5 cents, and a penny, that's 1 cent, right? How many different combinations of coins makes up a dollar? Here's what I mean by it. If I have two 50-cent, half-a-dollar coins, that's $1. If I have four quarters, that's a dollar. If I have 10 dimes, that's a dollar. If I have 20 nickels, that's a dollar. If I have 50 pennies, two quarters, that's a dollar. How many combinations can I come up with to make up a dollar? You know what the number is? 293 different ways I can come up with a dollar. What's my point to you? To make $1 million your income, there's so many different ways they can break down the math to make $1 million your income. I'm going to give you examples on three different industries for you to say, okay, now I get it on what I need to do to make $1 million your income because you got to know the formula on how to make $1 million your income. So let's go over here right now, Mario, together. Let's look at the first one. The first one is just sales. So pick any product that you want to sell. You don't have to. It can be insurance. It can be any product you're selling that's a $1,000 sale. So if your average commission is $1,000, how many personal sales do you need to make in a month to make $1 million your income? The number is $1,000 is your average commission sale. You need to make 83 sales, which is $83,000 per month times 12 months. You're making roughly $1 million your income. That's if you sold everything personally. Now you may be watching this and saying, Pat, there's no way in the world I can sell 83 of these a month. That's why you may need a team or a sales team. If you become a sales team, if that average sale that everybody sells is $1,000, if you're a sales manager and a broker, maybe the average commission by sales made by a rep to you is $250, which means $250 if the average sale to you is that the commission, you make your cut, you need 332 sales made by everybody to come up with $83,000 that becomes $1 million your income. So now, what you're solving for is what? 332 sales. How do you make 332 sales? Basic math. Either get five people that sell 66 of these products per month, either find 10 that do 33, 20 who do 16 of these, or get 40 sales rep that do 8 of these to make $1 million your income. This is any sales industry. Now let's look at real estate. Here's real estate. Say the average home you sell is $500,000. The commission that's paid to you as an agent is 6%. Your cut, the total commission is $30,000. Your cut is 70%. 70% of that $30,000 commission, because your broker keeps the 30%, that's $21,000. You need to make four of those sales per month to make $84,000 a month. Times 12 months, you'll make $1,008,000 per year. Now, you may say, well, my average home size is not $500,000. It's $250,000. No problem. You need eight sales. Well, the average home size I sell is $1 million loan. Then you need two sales. It doesn't matter. Figure out the math for yourself. If you're a broker and you have real estate agents working for you, how much total do you need to sell for you to make your 30% cut of $1 million your income? Here's what it is. If the commission is $30,000, your cut is 30%. That's $9,000 you take as a broker, which means you need 10 sales to be made. That's $90,000 for a total of $1,080,000 per year, right? So how do you break that down? Well, you need five real estate agents per month that make two sales a month for you at $500,000 to make 90 grand a month, or you need 10 real estate agents that work for you that make a sale of $500,000 per month for you to make $1,008,000 per year. The formula is there. Now, here's another one. Some of you guys that are engineers, you're on an IT firm or a consulting firm, and the average hourly is $150. This could be a law firm, this could be an IT firm, this could be a consulting firm, but the average hour that you charge, I come to you, I need you to design the software for me, you say it's gonna be around 300 hours. 300 hours times 150 hours, $150 per hour, I'm paying you $45,000. I'm just kind of giving you a math here. $450,000, I'm giving a math to you here, right? So if the average hour is 150, your engineer that works for you, because you sold the contract, there's a lot of people that sell these contracts who don't know anything about coding or IT, they sell the contract. If the average engineer who works for you makes $75, your cut is $75, that means you need roughly 1,100 hours in a month to make $83,000 per month to make $1 million your income. So the formula you solve for is what? 1,100 hours. So 1,100 hours divided by 4 weeks is roughly 275 hours. That's 40 hours per week with seven consultants. If you have seven consultants doing 40 hours a week of you making $75 per profit on the hour, you are making $1 million your income. Do you see what I'm showing to you here? This is the mathematical formula. By the way, this is boring, but it's exciting when you get a paper and pen and you start writing out your formula. Oh my gosh. This is all I need to do make $1 million income. What do I need to do make $2 million or $3 million or $5 million or $10 million? That's the pure math. It's so easy to do, but this is logic. This will not get it done. I know.
Okay. Today's podcast is titled, and we're doing this all this week. This is Monday. We're going to do this all this week. We're dealing with the fundamentals of earning $1 million. Not borrowing $1 million, but earning it. We're getting with the bare bones fundamentals. And we're to do that, for most of us, we are reviewing first grade, second grade, and third grade arithmetic. Arithmetic has its language. It's a universal language that's spoken in every culture, society, political jurisdiction on the planet, as well as interplanetary. 1 + 1 = 2 on the Earth, on the Sun, on Pluto. You can go 100 light years away from here, and 1 + 1 = 2. So we're doing a review so people can reset their minds on because it can be, I mean, to earn $1 million in 6 to 9 months, that's for most people, and we're already a month into this. We haven't even done one penny yet. But that's okay. We're preparing. Once you get these fundamentals, then you'll take off with us. Now, so let's start with first grade. Now, you can follow along. Matter of fact, on your phones, computers, or whatever you're on, devices, tablets, laptops, whatever, type in first grade arithmetic. First grade arithmetic. And if you got anything to share, you know, additionally for what we're about to say, just let us know. All right, now, I'm reading a question here. What type of math does a first grader need to know? So I'm reading this. It says, in first grade math, which is arithmetic, your young learner will start adding and subtracting numbers. Now, we're just talking about two operations right now, addition and subtraction. In first grade, not 12th grade, not your senior year in college, but in first grade, your young learner will start adding and subtracting numbers up to 30. They will also solve basic word problems with the help of drawings, objects, and equations. By the end of first grade, your child would have been shown how to add 3 one-digit numbers. We're in first grade right now. Now it says, in first grade, I'll repeat this, they should learn how to add and subtract numbers up to 30. Up to 30. Okay. So today's Monday. And our goal is, or one of our goals, our primary goal is to build one tiny structure, home, house, whatever you want to call it, just one a day. So imagine on a worksheet, you can pencil in, draw it in, or write it down, just one. Monday is one. Tuesday, you do one again. That's second day. Friday, you know, that's the fifth day. So we're just going out of a 30-day month, we have to have the ability to count up to 20 days, one day at a time. First grade math. Now, if we put a value on that, okay, if we put a value on that house, all right, day one, $10,000. Day five times five, is 25,000. 25 with three zeros on it added to it. All right, now that's jumping up to second and third grade math, but we just get your calendar out, mark off 20 days. That's first grade math. And because all we're going to be doing is wash, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. So once again now, if you can count from 1 to 30, it can be 1 to 30 cupcakes, 1 to 30 pairs of shoes, 1 to 30 hairbrushes, 1 to 30 cars, 1 to 3 chicken. Our thing is the ability to count 20 days, count out 20 days in 1 month, and for each one of those 20 days, we're going to add on another 20. For each one of those days, count one tiny house. First grade math. Now that's in line with what I'm reading here online. It says, your first grader, your young learners, will start adding and subtracting numbers up to 30. That's first grade math. All right. even if, now, you know what, there's a very good movie that Disney produced some years ago, classic movie. It's called The First Grader, based on a true story. And the matter of fact, let me look it up so I can read it to you guys. True story that takes place out of Africa. Let's see, The First Grader movie from Wikipedia. If I can find it on there and read it to you. All right, The First Grader, let me read it to you. Classic film, man. Classic. It's true. The First Grader is a 2011 biographical drama film that stars Naomi Harris. She did a very good job in that. All right, plot. In 2003, a disc jockey announces over a Kenyan radio station that the government is offering free primary school education to all natives who can prove citizenship with a birth certificate. Kimani Marugu, an 84-year-old villager, hears this and decides to take it upon himself to seek an education. So here's a guy in East Africa, Kenya, who at 84, this dude was a grandfather already, if not a great grandfather. But he had, you know, raised in a family, and the life experiences that he had in East Africa, he wasn't able to go to school. But at 84, because typically in Africa, even today, you got to pay school fees. So when he found the opportunity to go at 84, he enrolled. Anyway, can you imagine now? He's 84. And you're going to school with kids, man, your grandchildren or great grandchildren's age. He's 84, then they're 8. Anyway, it says, arriving at his local school, he meets Jane, played by Naima Harris, a principal and teacher. He expresses his desire to learn how to read. Her teaching colleague, Alfred, ridicules him. Now, here's a guy, a teacher, not the principal, that, and I hate to say it, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway. And I don't want to give away the movie. He ridicules and demands that he leave. So here's one of the teachers telling him, look, man, you're 84. Just go. All right. Jane, the principal, thank goodness, this dude's husband. Her husband was the one that shooed him away. Said we should encourage him. So they allowed him to enroll. Hold it. Let me, because this is based on a true story. Won all kind of awards for this. Okay. The First Grader. All right. The film was inspired by the true story by Kimani Rugi, and let's read about him. Because if this dude can make it, we don't have no excuse for not making $1 million. All right. Kimani, that's spelled K-I-M-A-N-I. That's one word. K-I-M-A-N-I. Kimani. Marugi, M-A-R-U-G-E. I hope I'm not butchering that too bad. He was born in 1920. He sunsetted or transitioned August 14th, 2009. Was a Kenyan man who held the Guinness World Record for being the oldest person to leave primary school, having enrolled January 12th, 2004 at 84. although he had no papers to prove his age. This joker could have been older than 84. Marughi believed he was born in 1920. All right. Marughi attended primary school in Eldoret, Kenya. Man, I'm still learning Swahili today. All right. He said that the government announced of a universal free primary school education in 2003, and that prompted him to enroll. In 2005, Marughi, who was a model student, was elected head boy of his school. He was handed the responsibility to orient and nurture the students in the school. In September 2005, Marughi boarded a plane for the first time in his life and headed to New York City to address the United Nations 2005 World Summit on the importance of free primary and secondary education for all. Final years, Marughi's property was stolen by looters. See, somebody needs a good ass whipping for that. But anyway, during the 2007-2008 post-election violence, and he contemplated quitting school. During early 2008, he lived in a refugee camp where he reportedly was a minor celebrity 4 kilometers from his school, but still attended classes every day. In June 2008, he relocated to Nairobi, Kenya. In 2008, Marughi was forced to withdraw from school and relocate to a retirement home for senior citizens. However, soon after, on June 10th, Marughi enrolled once again into a standard six at the Marua Primary School located in another part of Nairobi. Okay, on Sunday, May 24th, man, that's my birthday. On Sunday, May 24th, 2009, Marughi was baptized at Holy Trinity Catholic Church. All right, he was then using a wheelchair. Marughi was a widower. He was a great-grandfather. Two of his 30 grandchildren attended the same school, and his kids and his grandkids and great-grandkids helped him study for his finals. He was a fighter of the Mau Mau uprising against British colonizers in 1950. Marughi died on August 14, 2009 of stomach cancer at the Kenyatta National Memorial Hospital in Nairobi. He was buried at his farm in another part of Kenya. All right. Man, that's one of my heroes there, man, this dude. Disney produced a film called The First Grader. Man, if I had to name all the films I've watched so far in life, this is in my top three, if not number one, but definitely in my top three. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to make it number one. Excellent film. So we're first grade. You know what? I can't speak for you guys. I'm a first grader. All right, so like I said, our goal is to generate $1 million in we're almost 2 months into this. Haven't raised 1 cent yet. Not for this. Earned. Because we're not asking for money on it. But that's okay because we need to get the thinking, our mindset right first. So this week we're going back to basics. Arithmetic. And we've already started with right now we're on first grade arithmetic. This week we'll cover first and second grade. If you can handle first to third grade arithmetic, you can earn $1 million. You can earn $1 billion if you want to go that high or work that much. But right, we're going to keep it simple, first grade. And we're going to have first to third grade arithmetic on how to earn $1 million. Now, we put out a formula method a month ago on this, but we're breaking it down. Find it with first grade. So let's go back to the definition. And if any of you know a elementary school teacher, you know, we that teaches us, we'd like to have them on here as well. But, all right, so what I'm reading online, this is not me. These are not my words. I'm reading this offline. What type of math should a first grader know? In first grade math, which is really arithmetic, your young learner will start adding and subtracting numbers up to 30. So let's keep this real simple. Out of a 30-day month, we need 20 of those days. Today's Monday. All right? So count out 20 days of this month. All right, just 20. Now, we also said that our goal is to build one house a day. Not five houses a day, not 10 houses a day, one. So once again, count out. Now, you can make a vision board out of this. You can make your own first grade map sheet. Cut out a little construction paper or draw a little stencil or whatever you want and just put Monday through Friday and just put in or pencil in one house per each day up to 20 separate days with 20 separate houses in each one of those days. That's first grade math. Don't worry about the value right now of those houses. Just keep it first grade simple. Because for some reason, we complicate this. Now, throughout the week, we're going to have first grade math problems, word math problems. I mean, the one that we had 2-3 weeks ago, Reba needs $1 million. Okay. So, well, let's do a word problem right now. Of course, you guys are invited to 619-768-2945 to give us your spin on it. All right. Reba needs $1 million. Now, for Reba to earn $1 million in 20 days, name the 20 days in which she needs to do it. You know, that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and up until you get 20. I can probably clean that math problem up, but hopefully you'll get the idea. All right, that's first grade math. Let's go to, and they have worksheets on this. You can also type in first grade math worksheets, which we're going to come up with our own so we can hand these out. Okay, now, let's go to second grade math. And then I'm going to the phone lines soon after this. Second grade arithmetic, what do they say? Okay, second grade math, this is from the Khan Academy. Learn second grade math, addition and subtraction with regrouping space, place value, measurement shapes. Okay. What kind of math is taught in second grade? Second grade math objectives. The second grade math, students continue with more sophisticated approaches to addition and subtraction and begin understanding the patterns leading to multiplication. Simple fractions are also introduced this year. Geometric learning extends to the students' understanding of shapes and parts. That's second grade math. Okay, so not rocket science here. So first grade assignment, I think every can you count one to 30? We only need 20 out of those 30 days. And then matter of fact, you know what, let's get a visual on this. Let's just take, because today is Monday. So a first grader, we know by the time they get out of first grade, we know they can count to 30. So using Monday as day number one and all the way to Friday, that's day number five. So we can count to five. Now, in first grade fashion, let's put a picture of a house. You can draw a little stick house in each one of those days that your napkin or your sheet of paper or whatever you got to write on. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, one for each day of the week. All right, well, first grader, you can grasp these concepts. Now, by the time we get now, in second grade, we're getting into multiplication. Third grade, we're definitely into it. Because let's start adding a value to each one of those houses. So let's start off with, well, one. All right. Let's start off with one. And let's call it $1. So if you got five, that each house is worth $1. You got five, so you got $5 worth of houses, and they are some place like Baltimore's one of them. You know, they have dollar houses. Now you got to fix them up, but we're not here for that today. Okay. But that's the value, you know, because they are $1 houses that do exist. Now, a first grader, because we know they can count up to 30, so we know that a first grader is they're only nine digits, fundamental digits. 0 to 9. So we know that a first grader can count up to 30, and 30 has two digits, a 3, and behind that a 0, that makes 30. We know a first grader, they got that concept down. All right. So let's go right back to the sheet of paper with house number one, assign the value. Now we assigned the digit number one, but let's put a 0 behind that and make it 10, a $10 house. But then if we add another 0, add two zeros behind that, then we have $100 house. Believe it or not, there are houses that you can purchase for $100 in various parts of the United States. I can tell you some of the cities, like possibly, but but they're problematic houses. Now let me put that out there. I can save the sizzle, but the steak of it is, typically if you find a house that you can purchase for $100, it's got problems. But that's not the point of delay's arithmetic lesson. So now, let's put three zeros behind that one. Okay, $1,000 house. Now, if you go on YouTube, if you go to eBay, and we've done this a few times on this, if you go on eBay right now while I'm talking, you can find a house on there or land $4,000, $1,000 to $2,000. Just put it in there. It's in there. Now, if you don't find it today, by the end of this week, it's something will pop up for $1,000, $2,000. Okay. Once again, we're just dealing with first grade arithmetic. All right. So let's put another zero on there to the one to make it $10,000. Okay. $10,000 per house. Five houses in a week, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Monday, Tuesday, Friday. You got $50,000 and wash, rinse, repeat. And you do the same, $25,000 the next week, $50,000 next week, $75,000 next week, $100,000 in a month. We're going to come up, just not me, but you guys too, with math problems based on first grade arithmetic. Don't have to go to high. You don't have to. You can drop out of school for this one. Don't have to go to college. And I got a college degree. Don't have to go to college for this one. We're going to apply first, second, and third grade arithmetic to adult problems. Steve Harvey had an adult problem that he owed the Internal Revenue Service $22 million. He got on a payment plan where he had to pay back $650,000 a month. That's some adult problem shit. Very adult. But he solved the problem when he broke it down into component parts. So here's the thing. If you don't have $1 million now, which most of us don't, one of the first things you had to do is, let's say all of us at the same age, let's say all of us are 17 or 18, let's make it 18. We're all 18 years old. We have graduated from high school. And we would like to have $1 million, but we don't have $1 million. Okay. And probably one of the reasons why we don't have $1 million, which isn't a whole lot of money these days, is because we've been fed a lot of, and a lot of it was well-intentioned, false or information. Okay, information. Some of the information was relevant. Some of it was irrelevant. We never put it in, nobody sat us down and put it in a particular context. So essentially, we're 18 years old, we graduated from high school, whatever, but nobody has sat us down and taught us how to earn $1 million.